Monsieur de Chagny and I had repeatedly taken off our coats and put them on again, finding at one time that they made us feel still hotter, and at another that they protected us against the heat. I was still making a moral resistance, but Monsieur de Chagny seemed to me quite gone. He pretended that he had been walking in that forest for 3 days and nights, without stopping, looking for Christine Daae. From time to time he thought he saw her behind the trunk of a tree, or gliding between the branches, and he called to her with words of supplication that brought the tears to my eyes. And then at last, "Oh, how thirsty I am," he cried in delirious accents. I too was thirsty. My throat was on fire. And yet, squatting on the floor, I went on hunting, hunting, hunting for the spring of the invisible door, especially as it was dangerous to remain in the forest as evening drew nigh. Already the shades of night were beginning to surround us. It had happened very quickly. Night falls quickly in tropical countries, suddenly with hardly any twilight. Now night in the forests of the equator is always dangerous, particularly when, like ourselves, one has not the materials for a fire to keep off the beasts of prey. I did indeed try for a moment to break off the branches, which I would have lit with my dark lantern, but I knocked myself against the mirrors and remembered in time that we had only images of branches to do with. The heat did not go with the daylight. On the contrary, it was now still hotter under the blue rays of the moon. I urged the Viscount to hold our weapons ready to fire and not to stray from camp, while I went on looking for my spring. Suddenly we heard a lion roaring a few yards away.
"Oh," whispered the Viscount, "he is quite close. Don't you see him? There, under the trees, in that thicket. If he roars again, I will fire."
And the roaring began again, louder than before. And the Viscount fired, but I do not think that he hit the lion. Only he smashed a mirror, as I perceived the next morning at daybreak. We must have covered a good distance during the night, for we suddenly found ourselves on the edge of the desert, an immense desert of sand, stones, and rocks. It was really not worthwhile leaving the forest to come upon the desert. Tired out, I flung myself down beside the Viscount, for I had had enough of looking for springs which I could not find. I was quite surprised, and I said so to the Viscount, that we had encountered no other dangerous animals during the night. Usually, after the lion came the leopard and sometimes the buzz of the tsetse fly. These were easily obtained effects, and I explained to Monsieur de Chagny that Eric imitated the roar of a lion on a long tabor or timbrel, with an ass's skin at one end. Over this skin he tied a string of catgut, which was fastened at the middle to another similar string passing through the whole length of the tabor. Eric had only to rub this string with a glove smeared with resin, and according to the manner in which he rubbed it, he imitated to perfection the voice of the lion or the leopard, or even the buzzing of the tsetse fly.